Well, John chapter 2, if everybody's been obedient to the Spirit of God this morning. And I want to do something. The two oldest classes I'd like for you to sit right here on this front row. That'd be Brother Mike's class and Brother Chad and Kelly Best's class. Would you just come sit right here on the front row for me? Now, we do this every now and then. I believe one row will do it. We just got a handful right now. Yeah, come on, Malia. All right, slip up there. And let me look around here and make sure we got everybody. Okay, that'll be good. I wanna preach out of John chapter 2 this morning. We're going to read the first recorded miracle of Jesus by John. There's 8 miracles in the book. The biggest part of John deals with the last week of Jesus' life. Over half the book deals with the last week of Jesus' life. But we do have in John chapter 2 a miracle. I want to talk to you about it this morning. I've got a real burden about this thing. We've been studying through the Kings in our Bible school on Monday night. We've been studying through the Kings and Chronicles. And I said this in the prayer last night. There's two primary targets of the devil. If you look at the Kings and the Chronicles, there's two primary targets. Number one, it's the king's children. Always after the king's children. And then they always go to the house of God and start robbing the house of God. I don't know why they don't go to the rich of the community and rob them, but they go and strip the gold and the silver and the brass out of the house of God. And it was the next generation and the house of God that suffers attack. Now, they did attack the nation from time to time. I'm not saying that was the sole place of attack, but that was a primary place of attack. A lot of times when the next king had come in and he is a wicked man, he'd kill all his brothers. He'd kill all the other children of the king. Sometimes it's his own worst enemy. And so there is an attack today. And I want to say this, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Your homes are under attack. The devil wants to split your home up, just sure as I'm sitting here. And it's not just young homes. It's old homes. The divorce rate, I may have these numbers off a little bit. I've read different things depending on who you read, what survey you look at or what poll you're looking at. But it's about 50%. And you just plus or minus that 10% depending on what you're reading. Second marriages, the divorce rate is 2 out of 3. And third marriages, the divorce rate is 3 out of 4. Now that's kind of where we're at today. There's 3 institutions that God ordained. If I don't read and pray though, I'll be preaching to you before we get started this morning. John chapter 2, let's read just a little bit. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was calling his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples. There was a difference between the brethren and his disciples. Do notice that. I think one was physical, one was spiritual. There is a religion that teaches that Mary was a perpetual virgin, but that does not back that up if you take that text right there. I'll just throw that out there for you to think about. Let's see, where did we get to? Verse number 12. And this he went down. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Our dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. God, you know I'm very needy. You know that. You know within myself it will be vain for me to try to preach. God, if you would just preach through me today, if you would just anoint me and let me preach in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, if you would just help me to be a help to your people. And Lord, I could probably choke out something within myself this morning if I had to. It's a very familiar text. And Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to let familiarity preach me this morning. But I want to preach what you want me to preach. I want to say it. Lord, I want to say it the way you want it said. In a spirit of humility and love and out of kindness and because I care. Lord, help us today. Bless us now. I ask you to rest each heart if there's anything that would hinder the preaching and the working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of your people this morning, and refrain it for just a few minutes and help us. And we'll give you the glory for all you do. I need you, Lord. I need you so bad. Help us now. Help our young people. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I don't think it's without significance that the first recorded miracle of Jesus is at a marriage. Is at a marriage. It's unusual. That seems, you might think that's rather odd, but the fact of the matter is Jesus created the home. He created the home. He has three institutions he's the source of. One is the home. The other is government. And the other is the church. And can I tell you, the devil's attacking all three of those institutions. He's wanting to tear them down. And he pretty well has. If you want the honest truth of the matter, he's been very successful, but he's not going to win in the end. And when he gets the home, he's got everything. If the homes are not right, the schools, I've said all this to you 100 times, but if the home's not right, the school's not right. Home's not right, church is not right. If the home's not right, the community's not right. If the home's not right, there's not anything right. That's why he's attacking the homes today. If he gets the homes, he's got it. I mean, it's over. When he gets the home, it's the building block of society. And so we know that. And so I'm going to talk to you today about marriage. I'm going to talk to you young folk today about marriage. I'm going to be very, plain. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be vulgar or anything like that, but I want to be plain to you. I want to be plain spoken to you. And what I'm going to tell you, you won't hear outside of a godly church. You won't hear the government back up what I'm getting ready to tell you. You won't hear a lot of churches back up what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I do have the Word of God backing me up. Now, I'm preaching to these young folks here. Are y'all married? I'm preaching to y'all too this morning. I've got two more that I'd preach to as well. And I'm preaching to you old folk as well. That's right. I'm preaching to all of us. Hey, you'd be surprised. A lady come over to me. We took the young folk up to Brother Rackley's youth meeting the other night in Rogersville. And we were up there and this lady come over that we just, Karen and I were sitting there on the pew and we just knew this lady secondhand, casually. And her daughter married somebody we knew. We used to go to church with them down at Morningstar. They've been married 20-something years and they're getting a divorce. Getting a divorce. Got a son that's in high school and maybe another son. And she was so broken about it. Been married 20 years. A lot of you ain't been married 20 years. Here's a home been in existence 20 years. And the devil finally got it. No doubt he's stalking that home for years. No doubt he's just sitting back on the side and waiting. Every time he got a chance, he took a move and an action. Here's what I'm saying. The devil's after your homes today. And you better be serious about it. And you right here, you better be serious about marriage. It's a serious matter. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. And if our homes aren't right, our church ain't right. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how much we shout it out. I don't care what we do. If our homes are ungodly, our church is ungodly. Amen, preacher. I'm telling you right today. Don't. Your home's ungodly. Don't put on ours and come in here and act like you're somebody spiritual or you're this or that. You're not anything. You're not right with God if your home's not right. You had a big fuss with your wife and come in the door, your husband, and come in here this morning. You're not right with God. Well, my, that's good. That's good. Preaching that'll draw the masses, isn't it? But it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You ain't right with your spouse, you're not right with the Lord. Well, amen. Well, I ain't even got started and I'm already getting a little quiet on us. But here we see Jesus. I want to look at three things. I want to look at the marriage. Then I want to consider Mary. And then I want to consider Jesus' mission. And then I want to look at the mundane. The mundane, the common, the plain, the ordinary. And I'm pretty sure I won't get to that. I may not get off marriage this morning. That's really where the burden of my heart is. Well, what is marriage? That's what I want to ask you all this morning. What is marriage? Is marriage what some man says? Who did I say created marriage? Who's the author of the institution of the home? Who generated the first home? Anybody know? Do y'all know who that is? Go ahead and tell me, Ben. Jesus did. The Lord did. Let's just say the Lord did. But Jesus, creator of all things. That's a good answer. The Lord created the home. And if you created something, wouldn't you feel like you had the right to define what it really was? I mean, Brother Steve, if you come up with some kind of machine that nobody had ever put together, wouldn't you feel like you had a right to decide, hey, this is the way the machine ought to be, this is the way it ought to be put together, this is the way it ought to work, and it ought to be organized. And since Jesus created the home, I think He ought to decide how the home ought to be. And since marriage is of the Lord, I think He ought to dictate what marriage ought to be. Now, we live in a time, and I've read, it's getting crazy in the world today about this thing of marriage. It's getting to be a crazy situation that's out there today. I read the other day where three women are trying to get married somewhere up north. I mean, we know we've got man and man trying to get married, woman and woman. I'm not trying. The government says they are married. But now they're saying there's three, I believe it was women trying to get married. I want to say Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's so or not. But it was somewhere up that northeastern area of the country. And they said, well, if two people can be married, why can't three? Now, I'm just telling you what I read. And then these folks, and I don't know what we're going to see before this thing's over. I really don't. I read the other day about the man and boy society and how they're starting to push this pedophilia now. And they're telling you why that's right and why it's okay. And if it's a consensual thing, then it's all right. And I say one of these days they'll be trying to marry kids. I don't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt with the inordinate affection that's out there now if they won't be attempting to marry their favorite pets. It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to hear something like that. That's the world we're living in. But let me tell you all what the Bible says about this thing of marriage and a home. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 2 and 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave. A man. Now listen what the Bible says. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now here's what I'm saying. Well, Jesus, who created the home, created marriage, created the family, He said a marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says. That's not what governments say. That's not what sociologists say. That's not what all these folks that claim to be so smart say. But can I tell you what the Lord said? My, let God be true and every man a liar. That's what 1 Corinthians teaches us. And it says this to you, young folk, that marriage is between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman, not three men, not three women, not through a man and an animal or anything else, but marriage, God's marriage, a marriage that God will honor and recognize is between a man and a woman. Now, I ought not even have to preach that. 30 years ago, that wouldn't have had to been preached, Brother Allen. That wouldn't have been an issue we'd have had to deal with. But can I tell you, there's inputs coming from all sides. There's all kind of pressure to accept and condone and say it's okay. But I want to tell you, if it's not between a man and a woman, it's not a marriage that God in heaven will recognize. Now, amen, that's just how it is. It's not popular. It's not the end thing to say, I guess. But it's the truth. And so we see first this thing of a man and a woman. But then I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you young people to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I'm teaching topically today, or preaching topically to you. In Matthew chapter 19, we're going to see a little more revelation about the home. You see, you get some truths about the home here, and some truths here, and some truths here. And that's how you build the doctrine on the home. In Matthew 19, I believe it is, in verse number 3, the Pharisees are dealing with this thing of divorce. Here's what it says. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? There we are again. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Now here's what I want to say to you young folk today. Listen at me. When you get married, you leave father and mother. That doesn't mean you forsake them. You never go around them. It means your wife comes first, or your husband comes first. And I want to tell you married folks, your wife or your husband comes ahead of your parents. That's how it is. There's been a lot of parents destroy the home and the family and the marriage of their children because they would not get out from between the husband, their daughter, their son, and their spouse. Amen. It's real quiet in here, but it's so. If you have a married children, get out of their life. And I don't mean be caring or be concerned about it, but don't come between your son and his wife. Don't come between your daughter and her husband. Don't split their home up. Make them choose you or their spouse. It's not right. The child is to leave mother and father and be joined to their wife. I mean, that's the primary person in their life is their spouse. And my, I've seen it time and again. Mom and dad would come between. And you should care, mom and dad. You should be concerned. You should help them if you can and give good advice. You ought to do those things. And if you love your children, you will do those things. And my, I know that's not appreciated sometimes, but if you love your children, y'all tell them the truth, but don't come between them and their spouse. Their husband, their wife comes first. That's just the Bible. That's what it says. Wasn't that what it says? He leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's more than just physical. I think a marriage is more just a physical intimacy. I think it's something God works. It's something God does. If your marriage what it ought to be, it won't be too many years. You and your wife will start thinking alike. I mean, you'll be thinking something your wife will say it, or she'll be thinking something you'll say it. Y'all just start merging towards one in your mindset. There'll be a little issue come up. Both of you will be in agreement on how it ought to be handled, what ought to be done about it. There'll be a oneness. The right kind of marriage is a oneness. And that's just how God set it up. He set it up that way. Young folk, you better think about that when you're picking you out a mate. But then I want to back that up and just look at the negative side of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. It's real important what I say that I back up with the Word of God. That's what gives me credibility. If I was just preaching my opinion, it doesn't matter. Your opinion's good as mine. If you feel like three people can be married, that's opinion's as good as my opinion, unless God's Word says something different. And it does. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read verse 16 and verse 17, and I want you to see what it says. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one. That's speaking about the marriage. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Here's what I'm saying to, and let's just turn on over to 2 Corinthians while I'm at it. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 6. I may be mistaken, but I believe, yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, young folk. I want you to read this with me. It's going to go slow this morning so you can get it. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. All right, here's what it says. It says, be not unequally yoked. We read that if you join to a harlot, you're one body. But here it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with, what's your Bible say, young folk? Unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, is that what your Bible said? Did I read that correctly? Here's what I want to get to you. I want to get across to you this morning. When you get married, you need to marry a believer. You need to marry a believer. Can I take it a step farther? If you're a believer, you need to marry a believer. If you're saved, you need to marry somebody that's saved. That's what the Bible's teaching you all. And I don't know if any of you all out there need this, but I'm going to tell you, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's not of God. And I think it goes much farther than the marriage issue. I think it goes in the business realm. I think it goes in a lot of areas. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Y'all ought not, Jesse, if you're saved and you say you are, you ought not yoke up with an unbeliever. You ought not marry an unbeliever. If you do, you'll be married contrary to the will of God. That's the same for every one of you. This morning, it's very important that you get that down. There's women and men as well tonight or today, and you know they're miserable. Their life is a defeat. They're defeated spiritually. They see no hope out, and it's because they yoked up unequally with an unbeliever, and their life is in shambles today. That's just how it is. When you do that, you messed up. Let me take a step farther. You ought not even go out with somebody that's not even a believer. That way, that's protection for you. That'll keep you safe. You never know when you go out with somebody where that might lead to. I know y'all ain't at that age yet, but I'm going to sow the seed before you go over the cliff. I'm going to build a fence right there, so when you get up there to make the curve and miss it, you're going to hit that fence and maybe not go over the cliff and wreck your life. Don't wreck your life. Don't even look at anybody that's not a believer. And I'm going to take a step farther. If they ain't dedicated and you are, That's an unequal yoke. Hey, everybody's saved. Just go down the road and ask. Even though it said few there be that enter there at, many that's on the road to destruction. That's what the Bible said. But if you ask everybody, everybody's saved. Everybody's right. Hey, whoever y'all put, cast your eyes on, you know what they're going to tell you? I'm saved. Yeah, I'm all right. I tell you what you better do. You better be wise enough to read between the lines. They're living like hell, never darken church door, never say anything, don't care anything about the things of God. You can pretty well rest assured that something's sideways somewhere. Y'all stay away from them. Well, I'll change them. No, I'll tell you what'll happen. They'll change you. That's what'll happen. Oh, yeah. You say, well, I'll just yoke up with them. I'll change them. No, they'll wreck your life and change you is all that'll happen. Amen. Well, I'm talking about marriage tonight. It's under attack by the devil. It's under attack by the devil. I'd say some of your homes is under attack. I'd say the devil's stalking your alls. Marriage trail. I'd say maybe he's real close to some of you tonight, today. I'd say he's just maybe almost within grabbing distance. You better take this thing serious. Young folks, outside of salvation, the decision on who you choose to spend the rest of your life with is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. That's right. And here's what the Lord said. Don't be unequally yoked together. Don't do it. Now, I can show you once you are yoked up, that don't mean you're supposed to split up and go, no, that's not what the Bible's teaching. But it's saying what you need to do before you ever get married, you find you a good godly somebody that's interested in serving the Lord. And then you consider. And if you don't find, I'll tell you what would be even better. Instead of you trying to find it, just let the Lord bring them into your life. And I'll tell you what would be even better before you make that decision. Talk to your mom and dad about it. Say, here's what I'm thinking. I just want to know, do you think they're a good person? Hey, yeah, I know that seems foolish. Yeah, well, they're grown. They do what they, I understand they do what they want to. You know as well as I do, a 20-year-old ain't. And I'm not throwing off. I'm not trying to be mean, but they don't have the wisdom and the sense to know some of them things that they ought to know. And a lot of times mom and dad can see things that child cannot see. They get blind. And here's what will happen if you get an ungodly. They'll try to come between you and your parents. Well, don't tell your daddy. That's what they'll say to you, girls. Don't tell you. And boys, don't tell your daddy, bud. We won't have to tell our parents. I'm going to tell you, if you can't tell your parents, you ought not do it. Hey, like that. That's exactly right. Don't let anybody, until you get married, don't let anybody come between you and godly parents. You understand what I'm saying? You stay close to your parents, then when you get married, you can leave father and mother and cleave to your husband or your wife. But until you do, make godly parents. You know what godly parents want? They want what's best for you. If they're godly, they care about your happiness. They want what's best for you. And it's good to ask them what they think about it. It's good to ask them, hey, what do you think about this fella? What do you think about this girl? And so, here's what the Bible's saying. Don't be unequally yoked together. Hey, you say, well, he's a good fellow and I'm going to marry him even though he's unsaved. You just violated the Scriptures. You just went against what God said. You're sideways. And I'm not trying to be domineering or boss. I just want to tell you what the Word of God says. It's what the Bible says. And so, we see that we're to have an equal yoke. But then I want to talk to you about this. What makes a godly home? What really makes up a godly home? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. See, Jesus came to this marriage and implied in this, in the fact of Him coming to the marriage, is that He approves of marriage. Marriage is okay. It was created by him and created for a reason. But turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to start in verse 21 and say amen when you get there. I'm going to give you a minute. Is everybody there? Here's what it says. Help Nick find it there right quick. Back the other way, Brother Nick. We're going to start reading in verse 21. And here's what it says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And here's what it says in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now here we're getting a very touchy area. The wives are to submit to the husbands as unto the Lord. Fellas, if you've got no arrogant, overbearing, bossy, controlling, telling you what to do, woman, you better put her on the shelf and wait for the Lord to send you somebody else. Your wife's to be submissive to you as the head, just like she would be to the... You say, what's that mean? Well, it told us, just like you'd be submitted to the Lord. That's how it is. Now, let me say, we'll get there in just a minute. That doesn't mean she's your slave and you're her master. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you sit in the easy chair and you say, go get me a Coke, go fix me a sandwich, you go do this and you go do that. That's not what it's saying. You're to love her like Christ loved the church. Exactly right. She's your helpmeet. She's a suitable help for you. That means you're doing most of the work. She's just helping you get done what needs doing. Amen. That don't mean she's the workaholic and you're sitting on the couch. Don't mean that, Brady. It means you're doing most of the work and she's there to help you get done what y'all need to do as a family. That's what it means. And so here's what it says. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands unto the Lord. And you can't have two heads of nothing. Two heads will blow up on you. That's right. Some preachers like to say it this way. Two heads are a freak. I don't like it. I don't like that saying. It don't sound right to me for whatever reason. But anything that's two-headed, they'll say is a freak. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can't have two heads of anything and it work right. You can't have it. It won't work. It just won't work. And I'm not saying that means my soul, if you loved your wife as a church, you'd surely listen to her. You'd surely take her feelings into consideration. You surely would be sensitive to her needs and her struggles and her problems. Sure. By the way, Christ loved the church so much he gave his life for it. That's right, Brother Steve. Give his life for the church. That's how you're supposed to love your wife. That's exactly right. And I'm telling you, anything short of that, you fellas are missing God when it comes to your relationship to your wife. You're to love her. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the love. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now here's where a lot of women think you're preaching me second class. And I'm not preaching you second class. I want to ask you this. If it's a football team and I said the offensive line was second class to the quarterback, y'all say that's crazy. They both have to work together. They just play their position. I mean they just play. If I was to say offense is more important than defense, you'd say that's not so. Some of you'd even say defense is more important than offense, and that's the most important thing. But can I tell you, you can't win games without both of them. They're both important. They just have their role, their place, their job. That's all it is. I mean, it's just as one's just as important as the other. It's not I'm up here and you're down here. It's nothing like that. It's just the place God's placed us in, the institution He created in the garden. Just how it is. And I don't know what to say. I could just talk around that, maybe cough when I read over it. But the fact of the matter is, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. You say, well, what does that mean? It says here, even as Christ is head of the church. And He's the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in almost everything. Not what it says. Here's what it says, subject to their own husbands in everything. And husbands, you're foolish if you don't consider your wife's opinion. The fact of the matter is, I think most time the wife's smarter than the husband. I almost think that. They seem to have more insight, more, I don't know what it is. But the fact of the matter is, this is God's order. The world will laugh at this. As we go on the internet, when folks see this, here's what they're going to say. That's a bunch of kooks down there. That's a bunch of fanatics. But I want to ask you, is that what your Bible says? And let me ask you this. Do you think if you set your home up in order, God's order, that it'd be safer than if you set it up according to your order? I mean, really, don't you think the safest homes would be to set it up according to the man that created and instituted the home? And if He said do it that way, don't you think that'd be the right way to do it? Sure you do. You know that's right. And here's what He said. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. But it don't stop there. It comes right behind it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Here's what I'm saying. The devil's out. The devil's out to destroy your all's precious little lives. And he'll do it with an ungodly marriage if he can. And he'll take a godly marriage and twist it around and make it be an ungodly setup inside the home and destroy it if he can. He's out to get you. He's out to get your mom and daddy's marriage. He's out to do that. He's out to destroy the home. You have to understand that. And the only protection we have is the Word of God. And we have to line our homes up by the Word of God. And someday, girls, when you meet the right person and they love you like Christ loved the church, you won't have no problem submitting. It won't be a problem. It won't even be an issue. It won't even matter to you because you just love them. That's right. And they love you. And it'll be right. And so we have this layout, this blueprint of the home. And you need to understand that. Let me go down to verse 33 and I'll give three times. By the way, fellas, three times in this passage from verse 21 to verse 33, it tells the men to love their wives. Where do you think the Lord is placing the emphasis at? For the men to love their wives. The emphasis is there. Notice verse 25, husbands, love your wives. I want you to notice verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own body. And one other place, I don't see it right now, but there's another. There's three places in here that it says that, if I'm not mistaken. And so we're to understand that we are to love our wives. Husbands, we're supposed to do that. We're to love our wives. And so you better, I've got verse 25, 28, and 33. Husbands, love your wives. So ought men to love their own wives. Now let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. It says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Love your wife like you love your own body. Love your wife like you love yourself. Fellas, the emphasis is on you loving your wife. That's where the emphasis is at. But verse 33 tells us something else. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I've seen women humiliate their husbands. I've seen women degrade their husbands and get them out in public and try to make a spectacle out of them. I've seen that. I want to tell you, ladies, that's ungodly. That's not of God. Y'all show some respect for your husband. And husbands, y'all love your wife. And if your home's not lined up like that, we're sideways. And when you come in the church and collectively, we're sideways, the church is sideways. And you say, preacher, how can you be so sure about that? God's word says it. I'm really not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you God's word, and I know we live in a day where people will not endure sound doctrine, but that's the word of God. And either you accept it and say, hey God, that's what you said, and I want my home secure and safe, and I want to protect it, so I'm going to line it up your way, or you take your chances. And that's where we're at in this world we're living in. Young folks, that's where we're at. And it's not popular. What I'm saying to you, it's not a popular thing. But I want to turn to 1 Peter 3. I mean, this thing goes on. 1 Peter 3, I want you all to turn. Turn with me. If you would, every one of you, just turn over. It's on over the other way, Nick. Turn over this way. Yeah, keep going. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And girls, I want you to read this with me. I'm going to give you just a minute to find it. Now, I know this is a little unusual preaching, but this is a burden of my heart today. And I'm giving you the Word of God. Now, here's what it says. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So it's not just Paul preaching it. Here's Peter preaching it. That if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Who's adorning? Now we're going to talk about the adornment. The adornment. Who's adorning? Not let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. Now here's what he said. It's not about the outside, but it's about the inside. It ain't about fixing your hair up real pretty and putting on your jewelry and dressing up. But what really the adornment, the godly adornment, is an inward adornment. Now let's see what it says here. Now listen to me, girls. What's your attitude supposed to be? Are you supposed to stand up and fight your own battles? And get in your husband's face and just wire them out if it don't go the way it's supposed to go? Is that how you do it? I mean, really, that's the world we live in. But here's what it says. Here's what it says. Whose outward adorning, verse 3, read with me. Whose outward adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a what? A meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now here's what he's saying. If y'all really want to be godly wives, you need a spirit of meekness and quietness. Now I'm going to ask you, Mom and Dad, am I preaching it right? Is that what it says? I mean, that's the Bible. I don't know what to do about that. We live in a land of loud and boisterous and bossy and controlling wives sometimes. But what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Boys and girls, what are we going to do with it? Meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. And then it goes on to elaborate in verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. The women in the old time had a meek and quiet spirit, being in subjection unto their own husbands. O-W-N, own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And so here's what I'm saying. If your home's going to be right, you got to have the right attitude. And fellas, if your home's got to be right, your wives have to have the right attitude. And you have to love right. And they have to be in subjection. And they have to reverence you. And you have to reverence them if you really want the truth of it. You have to be submitted to them if it's going to be right. He said in one place, yea, let us all be in subjection one to another. And so I'm talking to you about the home today. Our homes are a mess. Marriage is under attack. We don't even know what constitutes a marriage in America today. Hey, by the way, when you leave the Word of God, anybody's opinion's okay. Brother Allen, anybody's opinion. The atheist's opinion's as good as yours if you're going to leave the Word of God. You have to have a basis for absolute truth. And somewhere you've got to come up with something. And so here's the Bible's teaching us about the home. But now, I want to look at a couple of other scriptures real quick. And I've gotten in trouble for this. I probably somebody would get upset with me over this. Preaching the pure Word of God, just giving out the Word of God. And here's what they'll say. Well, that was a cultural thing. The Word of God crosses cultural boundaries. That's right. It crosses cultural boundaries. If it was good 1,000 years ago, it's good today. That's right. You can do with it what you want. This Word of God, it's eternal. It'll work 1,000. If it's wrong 50 years ago and truly wrong in the eyes of God, it's wrong today. Amen. Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want to talk to you fellas a minute. I've kind of been a little rough on these women. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read verse number 9, but I really want to get to verse number 10. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Now listen, fellas, are y'all over there? Are you over there, Ben? Get over there. Turn over there to it. I want you to read it with me. 2 Corinthians 3 and 10. I'm going to go ahead and read it while they're turning. It says this, For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, you can throw stones or you can do whatever you want. But here's what it said. If any would not work, neither should they eat. Isn't that what it says? Is that am I taking that out of context? You read the context of it. It's talking about folks that wouldn't work. Girls, look at me. I want to tell you something. If you get a fella and he won't work a job, don't even consider him for a husband. Cull him. If he won't work, cull him. Put him on the shelf. God's got somebody else for you. I can tell you that. If any won't work, they ought not eat. If they won't work, don't let them sit at your table and eat your food you've worked out. That's right. I'm telling you right. Godly men work. Amen. Godly men work. You got a young fella that won't work, that's ungodly, and leave him alone till he gets right with God. Amen. Well, I hate to preach like this. I hate to do like this. I know these folks sitting there being maybe thinking I'm trying to be harsh or mean-spirited. But I'm telling you, our home's under attack and our children's going to be the victims of it. Somebody don't tell them right. Somebody's got to tell them. Well, let me give you another one if I can find it. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. Flip on over, Ben, to 1 Timothy 5 and 8 with me. Now I'm going slow because I want these young people. Hey, have you all seen me preach? Have this morning, have I preached anything? As far as you know, that's not in the Word of God. No? You're shaking it real gentle, but they're shaking their head like this. And they're saying, no, everything you've said is in the Word of God, and I think it is. And I think it's in context. I don't think I'm twisting the Scriptures. And if I am, I want to know. I don't want to be hard on people. But I'm going to tell you this, in this day of casualties, of families, if you care about your family, y'all lined up by the Word of God. If you care, you all lined up by the Word of God. If you love your wife, you love your husband. In fact, if you love your children, y'all line your home up by the Word of God as much as you can. Now I want you to notice what it says here. And is everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Are you there? All right, look in verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now here's what I'm saying to you, men. And by the way, it's your job to provide. It's your job, Ben, to provide for your wife. When you decide to get married, if you can't provide for her, don't get married. That's the way I feel about it. Now, I can show you a verse in Proverbs to back that up. But and girls, here's what it says. A man won't provide for his own. It's worse than an infidel. Can I tell you, somebody won't provide for his wife and his children, he's in pretty bad shape. I'll just be kind and leave it at that. He's in pretty bad shape. An infidel, somebody doesn't believe. It doesn't believe in God, if I'm remembering right. And here's what I'm saying. He ain't worth a whole lot, spiritually speaking. Now, I understand I'm not talking about people that's disabled. I'm not talking about people that have some kind of mental imbalance. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I don't want you to think I'm being harsh or mean. Somebody with a physical disability, there's men that can't. And the fact of the matter is, that's when the church ought to be part of the life instead of the government. That's right. I'm telling you right. But if you can, if you're able to, and if God's blessed you with strength, man, it's your job to work. Now, I'm really going to get in hot water right here, but it is the Word of God. If I can find it over in Titus, chapter number 2. Just flip on over a little bit, boys. Stay with me. Flip on over a little bit. I've been long in preaching, but I want to finish this if y'all will let me this morning. We'll go to these other points maybe tonight if the Lord be willing. Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. Let's get verse number 4. Say amen when you're there. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. You can be taught to love your husbands according to this verse. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, that's pure. And keepers of the home. Is that what your Bible said? It didn't say keepers of the home, did it? What did it say? Keepers at? Keepers at home? Not at the job place? I used to have people tell me, this fellow tell me that. And listen, I know the biggest part of you women work. If you can't make it, you ought to help your husbands make it. If y'all can't make it on one salary, we live in a two-income world. I understand that. Well, our society's geared on two-income world. Fact of the matter is, some of you tell me it takes two incomes to survive. Well, it does the way we live. That's right. That's exactly right. But I'm wondering if we could live a little tighter if we needed to. I just wonder. I wonder if cable vision's really a necessity. I wonder if really a cell phone's a necessity. We think it is. I think it is. I mean, that's my mentality. I wonder if some of these little options, these little blessings of life, let me say it that way, that we think is a necessity really is. I wonder what we could get by on if it really come down to it. I really wonder. I wonder if we could live with one car in the family. I'm not trying to be a fanatic. I'm not trying to be some kind of nut that wants you to move back on the backside of the mountain and withdraw from society. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about lining our homes up by the Word of God. We're so far from it when a man God preaches what the Bible says, He's looked at like he's crazy. But is that not what the Bible says? Keepers at home. At home. I don't know what to do with that. You want me to do what everybody else does and just skip over it and act like it's not there? That's what they do because they won't endure sound doctrine. But right there it is. I don't know how to explain that away. I'll never forget that time I took that Bible, said, well, here's what, talked to this fellow about his long hair. He said, well, what's the Bible say? And I just showed him there and said, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And he looked at me and said, well, what does it really mean? That's what he said to me. And he said, you know how you can just explain something, they say something that don't really mean that means something else. I don't study the Bible like that. God wrote the Bible for us to communicate to us. He wrote it so we'd understand it, not so we wouldn't understand it. And here's what it says, keep her at home. Girls, I'm going to tell you the ideal situation is for you to be a keeper at home, according to the Word of God, to be a keeper at home. It may not work out that way. Multitude across this room, they can't do it. They just can't. They're set up and they can't. They're to be a helpmeet to their husband, and so they have to go to work. And I understand it. My wife has worked, and she works 2 days now. And you say, preacher, you're preaching what you... I'm doing the best I can. If I could, she wouldn't work any. But we're working 2 days, and we're trying to get where we're supposed to be. And can I say it? If you're not where you're supposed to be, don't deny the Bible. Just say this, I'm not right, but I'm trying to get there. That's the right way to do it, isn't it? Don't get mad at the preacher for telling you what the Bible says. Y'all would want me to tell your children the truth, wouldn't you? I wouldn't preach this message today if I didn't have to. We've got visitors back here. Folks, I don't know what y'all believe. You may be sitting there thinking, man, that's the craziest fellow I ever seen. And you may be right. I don't know, but I know what I'm telling you is what the Bible says. And that's what gives me confidence to say that to you. And so I'm saying to you today, ladies, if you can be a keeper at home, if you can't, be a helpmeet to your husband. And when you can, get as close to the plan of God as you can possibly get. And don't get you no lazy husband that won't work. Don't get fooled by that. They got 1,000 reasons why they can't work. Probably at the root of 99% of it, and I won't say it's all of it, there's a lot of laziness in our land today. And really, you mom and dads, it's your fault because you ain't raised your kids to work. That's right. Raise your kids to work. My lands. We're a play generation. Give me a game. Give me a little play party. I'm going to play my life away. That's not God's will. It's God's will that we work and provide for our own and raise godly children for the glory of God. That's God's will. And I feel strong about what I'm saying. You can't, if you say, preacher, that ain't right, you waited too late to tell me that. I know it's right. Here's what I'm saying to you young folks. Be careful who you marry. Be careful who you marry, Brady. Be careful. Be careful, Ben, Nick, Jesse, Malia. Y'all be careful who you marry. Be careful. It's a serious, serious issue. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. Now listen, I'm not a marriage expert. I don't have a degree in sociology and whatever else. I don't know what they have a degree in that make marriage counselors. I don't have all that. But I do know what this book says. And this book is our final authority for truth. And what I've told you this morning, I've preached about 30 minutes longer than I normally preach. That's how passionate I am about what I'm saying to you. You're going to be a casualty in this world if you follow the world's principles and rules for marriage. Good chance you'll be a casualty. 50% of the marriages break up. And you've got little children without moms and daddies. A good part of their life. It's tragic. It's sad. Don't be caught in that trap. I want to make champions out of you. I want to see you live a godly, happy, successful life. And the only way to do it is marry right. And when you do get married, structure your home according to the Word of God. And if you'll go with God, can I tell you, you'll never be sorry. Never be sorry. God will bless you. And can I say to you that our marriage, if your home ain't right, line it up by the Word of God. The devil's just stalking you. He's wanting to wreck your home this morning. Wanting to wreck your home and your life. That fella, that mother-in-law that was talking to us Friday night, they've been married at least 20 years. Drove his little wife into a parking lot. Here's all he said. I just don't love you anymore. What, none of this? You've been a bad wife. You've done this. This problem. We can't get past. Just don't love you anymore. You know what happened? The devil finally got a hold of that home. Finally got a hold of it. And split it apart. And there's two children in that home. They're going to be victims. And you know what the devil's doing? He's laughing. How foolish they are. I knew I was going to do it. I knew I was going to get them. It took me a little while, but I got them. I've got them. I've wrecked their lives, and I've probably wrecked their children's lives. It's sad, folks. It's serious business what I preach to you. You better take heed to me, young people. You better take heed. You better not get stardust in it. That ain't the right word. You better not get glamorized by some hoodlum, some unsaved, not even a hoodlum. They some good unsaved boys. You better go with God. Line your life up with God and go with them. And here's what I think. If you was to talk to your parents, I believe they'd tell you exactly what I said is right. I believe they would. Ask them. It's not my job to come between you and your parents. Ask your parents if I'm telling you right. Find you a good godly aunt or uncle or grandmother, grandfather, and ask him, did he tell me right? Ask him. I showed it to you right out of the Word of God. Now, what are you going to do about it? You going to heed that? Hey, by the way, let me give you one more. I'm just full today for some reason on this. I'll give you one more and we'll go home. In Proverbs 18 and verse 22, you don't have to turn. But here's what it says. If I can find it, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's Proverbs 22 and 18. Can I tell you who's to be doing the hunting? Brother Alfred Willis told us, you know who's to be doing the hunting? Not the women. It's the men. Fellas, it's your job to find you a wife. It's not your wife's job to find her a husband. It's your job. It's your job. We live in a land where we've lost that, but it don't say whosoever findeth a husband findeth a good thing. Woman's not supposed to be the aggressor. It's you men. And ladies, I want to say this. If a man ain't got enough gumption about him to go after a wife, leave him alone till he grows up. That is what it says. That's what it says. Well, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you, young people. I'm trying to help you. You better heed what I said. I've given you the Word of God. It's straight and it's hard. And they ain't. If I had 1,000 people here, 900 of them wouldn't receive it. They won't endure sound doctrine. That's as sound as a dollar this morning. Straight from the Word of God. Sound as a dollar. Brother Allen, let's come this morning. I don't know. We need an invitation. And I know I've been lengthy, and I ask you to forgive me for that, but I've preached God's Word to you. I've given you God's Word this morning. Here's what I'm saying to you. Maybe your home's not right. Can I encourage you? Make it right. Ladies, maybe you've not been submitted. Dear husband, maybe you've not loved your wife like you ought to. You've been all about you instead of her. If you love her like Christ loved the church, she'll get a priority over yourself. The Lord does what's best for us, not what's best for Him necessarily. He does what's best for us. Husband, maybe you're not what you ought to be, but I ask you, would you repent? Would you change your mind, agree with God, and go His way this morning? If God spoke to your heart, are you man enough, woman enough to be obedient to the Word of God? Brother Allen's going to sing, Bow Your Heads. One verse of invitation. Nobody comes, we'll be through this morning.